Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. As any journalist will gladly tell you, searching through old records can be excruciating. Beyond being disorganized and often unclear, many records are lost over time, and the headache of finding just one document can easily triple the time it takes you to do your job.
So over the past couple of decades, many organizations have set out to digitize their records as a way of preserving them and making them easier to find. But that, too, takes time.
Over the past few years, the Milwaukee Public Museum has been working to digitize their entire collection, but they still have a long way to go. Dr. Chris Tyrell is a researcher at the museum, and it's director of collection informatics. Chris, thanks so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Well, thanks for having me.
When it comes to digitizing the collection, What does that mean? When we're talking about the collection, are we talking about, you know, artifacts that are in the back rooms? Are we talking about documents? What goes into that?
Yep. So it's all of the above, actually.
Okay.
The Milwaukee Public Museum, we've got about 3.5 million objects. And digitization is really just the process of taking physical records and making them electronic. So whether that's documents with information on them or whether that is a photograph of a physical artifact or natural specimen.
So you have volunteers who have been going into the museum and doing this, it seems maybe for a bit. How long has that work been going on?
Digitization at the museum has been going on for a long time, but the push for rapid digitization has really been going on maybe 2.5 years.
So there's another part of this because, of course, you know, you take a photo of something and that's great and that, you know, is on record. But having worked with archives myself, you can't really search for a photo. You then just have to kind of dig
Correct.
Through those records.
Yep.
So what is the new part of this?
So, you know, your example with the searching is, we take the photograph, but then we're adding data, metadata to it. So it's information like maybe it's a keyword. You know, if it's an anthropology collection, it could be the culture that it came from. It could be the year it was found or the year that it was created or something like that. Natural history specimens, so, you know, plants and animal specimens, it's what species is it? What, you know, characteristics does it have? Is it white? Is it black? Is it blue? The year it was collected, who collected it, where it was collected. So all of that data, that's the fundamental of science, you know, the who, what, when, and where.
And who is doing this portion of that? Who have you sort of recruited?
So right now we have three main digitization projects that are happening simultaneously. And with two of them, they're grant-funded. And so in that case, they're from funding from federal government, federal granting agencies. So there's paid staff to assist with those. But then the digitization, the one that started about 2.5 years ago, the volunteer-based one, we have 5 volunteers that have been recruited from, you know, the general public, really. Some of them, I think in a couple cases, they were pre-existing museum volunteers, but in the majority of cases, we put the ad out. We said we're looking for people with technical skills, computer skills, or just a general interest in doing this kind of work, and they answered the call, and they've been great.
What do you think they get out of the experience?
That's a good question. I think that it's going to be different for each one of them, but in some cases, they actually feel a tangible connection to giving back to science. So they can see, they see what they're doing. They know they're handling these objects. They see how old they are. They see these labels that, in some cases, they're handwritten, they're, you know, calligraphy, and they are offering their services to translate that into a usable format. Because in the past, a researcher would have to come along, they'd have to spend, you know, 5-10 minutes trying to translate the label. But if it's already typed up into the computer for them, that's that much more brain power that a scientist can give to, you know, answering a question instead of dealing with a routine task. So I think they feel that tangible connection.
With that idea of usability, how does this facilitate the kind of work that's going on, not just maybe at the public museum, but at other museums? How does digitization help facilitate that research?
So once we get an electronic record for an object, those records get accumulated in our internal database in the museum, And periodically, we will upload those records into an online portal, so a national web portal. And on that web portal, museums all over the country are donating their electronic records. So now you're really aggregating information. And researchers anywhere in the world, well, actually not just researchers, but the general public can go to this website and look and see, what does the Milwaukee Public Museum have? You know, do we have a sunflower from the 1800s for Milwaukee County? Do we have a passenger pigeon from Wisconsin, from what was the last date we had? All sorts of information that you can gather. And then you can start to connect it. You can say, oh, wait, I didn't realize the Milwaukee Public Museum had this. The Smithsonian has one of those. And now you've got, you know, more power, more information. We're in the era of big data, right? And so this is the way that museums are contributing towards big data.
You know, with the idea of going back to, like, the passenger pigeon, the last date that we might have had one, when you compare this kind of data, what have we learned? Are we able to quantify it in that way? What have we learned so far by kind of cross-referencing this data?
So the museum is providing the infrastructure for the questions. And we have science staff. I mean, I'm one of the research staff that's asking our own questions. And I guess I can speak from my work. I work on plants, so I discover new species of plants and describe them. And before, if I was working in a particular group, I would have to contact individual museums and say, you know, I'm working on this group. Do you have any specimens? Can I come see them? Now I can sit in my office and I can go onto this aggregator, just search and find, you know, I search for the group I'm interested in, I pull up a bunch of records, and then I can look at a digital image of those records and I can say, ooh, this one's really interesting. I need to make a trip to Missouri or I need to make a trip to DC or something like that. And it really, it makes it much more efficient. It's actually increasing the efficiency of science, I think. So, you know, looking at sort of incoming species, so exotic species, invasive species, we can start to track some of that information. I was talking to a graduate student at UW-Madison, and he was looking at how invasive plants have entered the state of Wisconsin. And in some cases, depending on what species it was, you can see it follow the freeways. So it comes up from, you know, the south, or it comes east from Minneapolis, and it follows along our freeways. And usually these are salt-loving plants, and so, you know, we salt our freeways. And then once they're there, you look a decade later, and now they've spread out into the internal areas of the state.
Similar to, like, mussels and boats from...
Right, exactly. The same idea. In fact, if we had records of that, we could track, you know, the spread of zebra mussels or quagga mussels. So, and we have that physical... You know, that's a good example, too. Initially, we had zebra mussels. And then, you know, several years later, we started talking about quagga mussels. And it's like, well, is that the same thing? Is it a different thing? When did the quagga mussels... They're very hard to tell apart. And if you have these museum specimens, you can discern, well, when did we transition from zebra to quagga?
So I think you've really covered this, but who can access the digital collection? If someone is interested in, you know, comparing what is at the Milwaukee Public Museum versus the Smithsonian, as you said before, how would they do that? How can they do that?
Sure. We submit our data to an online service, and it's called iDigBio. iDigBio is a U.S. national portal for all these museums to aggregate their data. There is a global one called GBIF. It stands for something, Global Biodiversity Information, something, something. But either one of those portals, they have somewhat redundant data. So if one has it, they share it with the other. But anybody can, you know, log on to your web browser, go to one of those two links, and just start searching. So anyone in the world.
Anyone in the world. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and explaining your work.
Thanks for having me again.
Dr. Chris Tyrell is the Director of Informatics at the Milwaukee Public Museum. To find out more about their efforts to digitize their collection, head to wuwm.com.